Alrighty. Can you guys hear me? Just let me know in the chat room. And we will get started. Okay. Dr. Darnell says live stream is off, but the other guys can see and hear me just fine. Okay. Hopefully, the doctor will catch up with us. Good. Well, playing a video from someone else's YouTube channel is strictly forbidden, and I guess they just slapped my hand for doing that. That's too bad because that was an excellent clip on an internal video at Palantir, co-founder, co-chairman, CEO Alex Karp that we talked about yesterday. Was talking about his dislike for Donald Trump, and this was in 2015 before the election. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on Palantir because he sort of laid the foundation for that yesterday, but it will segue over into what I have to talk about in terms of China. And pardon my voice. I guess my voice will catch up to all this extra exercise. At any rate, here we go. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that Palantir is really a program that was devised and funded through DARPA and the CIA, and the government is its primary customer, but also reaches out into the private sector. But the point of the video that I was trying to share with you today about Alex Karp and his feelings towards Trump is centered on this. On the one hand, he will tell his employees, and supposedly this was an internal video only, that BuzzFeed, I'm crediting BuzzFeed for the video, for their sources. But it's really a public pronouncement when he is talking about Trump and his dislike for him, his distrust for Trump. And here's the thing that I'd like to offer to you, and that is that if we are to believe these guys when they speak in public, then it sounds as if they're being genuine about their feelings. So you have the CEO on the one hand of Palantir speaking negatively about Trump, and yet his partner, Peter Thiel, the venture capitalist, is a friend of Trump and today currently is an advisor to Trump. So, how can you have two partners who in the public arena are diametrically opposed to one another? And I'm watching chat today rather than looking at myself. I'm watching your chat room. So, if you have comments or questions, feel free to throw them up into the chat room, into the chat box. I'm going to enlarge the screen a little bit here so that I am better able to see your comments and questions. And there we go. Okay. So if you have the two leaders of this company, a company founded by the intelligence community, funded by the intelligence community, as well as Peter Thiel, and Peter Thiel has made billions of dollars off the military, industrial, and intelligence community. He was an early, as you may know, Peter was an early investor and partner with Elon Musk in PayPal. Now, PayPal as well has its roots in the intelligence community. Virtually all of these large big name companies out of Silicon Valley, etc., have their roots in the intelligence community because they all serve the purpose in a variety of ways and venues of collecting data. So we can talk about Facebook, PayPal, Google, and as we're going to talk about China today, we're going to be talking about some of their companies that are serving their government and their intelligence community there in much the same fashion. It's all about big data and data collection on us. We are not the customer, we are the product, as Facebook famously proved to the world. Again, in their, Cambridge Analytics fiasco, which was put out for public consumption, and that it was revealed that to third-party vendors, like Cambridge Analytics, our personal information that Facebook was collecting was being shared and quite literally sold to third-party vendors, who then turned to advertisers and marketers and use our information for target marketing of products. Now, it goes way beyond that, but you have to ask yourself, why would Facebook reveal Cambridge Analytics, which is not the only company they sell data to? Why would someone like Alex Karp make these disparaging comments prior to the election about Donald Trump? And I disagree with the BuzzFeed analysis in the sense that he didn't have any idea, as the BuzzFeed reporter was saying, that Alex Karp didn't have any idea that Trump would be the president and therefore his best customer. Well, I disagree. As we all know, the elections are a farce. It's a sham. And these guys are put in place. And those that are working with the deep intelligence community connections that Palantir has, as well as Google and Facebook and, yes, PayPal, they all know well ahead of time who the players are and who the new players are going to be in the swamp. So here's my point. From a psychological operation perspective, you have people that are making public revelations, say, about Cambridge Analytics. You have people making disparaging comments about Trump in the case of Alex Karp, and yet Peter Thiel being a financier of the Trump campaign and an advisor today. Well, it's so that they can play both sides. And you're an intelligent audience. You can certainly see this and understand where I'm going with this. But the point here is that we must bear in mind that 30,000-foot perspective, that these guys are all players. They're all playing a role. It's all scripted. So Karp appeals to the liberals in his statements against Trump. Peter Thiel appeals to the conservatives in his statements of support and his operations of support in getting Trump elected. I would venture to say that Palantir as a whole, both Karp and Thiel, were instrumental in gathering the data that was necessary to target certain segments of the population to vote for Trump. So when we talk about rigging elections, you have to be more specific. It is all based upon data collection. It is all based upon... Thank you, Dr. Darnell. Great. I'm glad you can see the video. That's perfect. It's important to bear in mind that they are playing both sides at the same time. And that's the purpose of me attempting to show that video, is that in his own words, Alex Karp was playing his role, playing one side. Now, yesterday I mentioned that Palantir was reaching out not just to the government in terms of its customer base, but to the marketing side, the business side, the public domain, if you will. I mentioned that they have programs, literally a program called Metropolis, which is for the business sector, for the public, and Gotham, which is for the military, industrial, and intelligence side. Now, there are many subset programs below that. What I really want to focus on is understanding that the outreach into the business community and therefore directly impacting our individual lives, why is any of this relevant? Because it's easy to discount the activities of the intelligence community. It's even easy to say, well, they're doing it all for our benefit to protect us. And I agree with that. Being a veteran, I want us to be protected. I want us to have the best tools, the best intelligence, the best special operations guys out there protecting us. All for it. It's when it is turned against the populations, including the populations of the entire world, that I have an issue, and I'm sure you share that with me. So, where is this relevant to us in our daily life? Let me ask you, have you ever heard of the chocolate company by the name of Hershey's? Well, I can't play you the video. I will be playing the video, at least the audio portion of the videos, in my Blog Talk radio programs on Fridays. This is the advantage of moving away from YouTube in terms of replaying my Truth Frequency radio broadcasts on YouTube. I will no longer obviously be broadcasting on TFR, but on Blog Talk Radio, same time on Fridays from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Links on my homepage, or go to Blog Talk and just type in Anthony Pat Show in their search engine. The point here is that on Blog Talk, I will be able to play the audio portions of these video clips that I've been collecting. I'm going to tomorrow play a series of audio clips on not only Alex Karp, but also some of our old friends like Jordy Rose. And the reason I'm doing that is so that it's somewhat of a refresher for you. It is also my ability to put in context this playing off on the public of playing one side against the other by providing the evidence, their testimony of their own words. And it is also to show you that there are many people who will be joining the Blog Talk broadcast that have never heard these before. Now, many of these things I have alluded to in my previous radio broadcasts, but we've not played the actual sound clips because of the issues with YouTube. So I'm going to leverage Blog Talk Radio in the ability to play these audio clips without being censored. Now, I could have played them on TFR, but then I would not have been able to post the broadcast on YouTube. Also, the time on TFR is somewhat limited and disjointed because we have commercial breaks. So we'll have a lot more freedom on Blog Talk. So let's get back to Hershey's. You've heard me talk about edge computing. Edge computing, quickly defined, is the placement of sensors, including sensors with limited computational or processing capabilities. Sensors that are even nanoscale, that's a billionth of a meter. We have literally around the world now nano-sized sensors and macro-sized sensors that are collecting data and streaming that data into the sentient world simulation that Palantir is providing the majority of the software for. And that's why when we look at the video clip we showed yesterday and a little bit today of Donald Trump and the ribbon-cutting ceremony in November of last year in Saudi Arabia for the threat center, the threat mitigation center in Saudi Arabia that is run based upon Palantir software. Well, Hershey's is embedding nanoparticles in their wrappers. Now, I'm not just picking on Hershey's, it's a good American company, but it's one that is tangible, and there are some videos that I have of the CEO in his statements that Hershey's CEO not just admitting, but promoting the fact that they're working with Palantir. As an example of how Palantir is providing analysis of big data to corporations. But it isn't just simply the data that resides within, let's say, within the offices, within the servers of the corporation, in which they're tracking inventories, tracking sales, tracking shipments, tracking their manufacturing processes. It goes all the way out into placement of sensors within the wrappers of the products that consumers purchase in order to collect data. Now, it's easy to say, well, maybe the data just relates to the point of purchase, so that a product, when it is scanned at the register, that then sends data immediately to Hershey's to say that one of their chocolate bars or their Twizzlers or any other product has just been purchased. Now, you could say, well, isn't that what the register is doing in the store? that it is scanning the sale by virtue of the barcode. Well, I would agree with you. If it was just the barcode, then that's a simple inventory tracking and auto replenishment system within retail that's been going on for years. What I'm getting at here is that the white papers in the scientific community that I've been reading in terms of nano-sized sensors and their capabilities. In other words, I'm reading the papers about the technology, the experiments, the mathematics involved, the metals and the other conductive materials that are used to develop nano-sized sensors. Those white papers are indicating that these will be embedded in products. Now, many, many years ago, some people may recall that when it came to things like dynamite, sounds like a bizarre topic to bring up when I'm talking about chocolate, but there was a real need to be able to track the source of dynamite by the government, so to speak, by the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. When ATF would come into the site of an explosion, let's say the federal building in Oklahoma, okay, and they're picking up residues of the explosive, they want to be able to track the source of that residue, of that explosive, be it dynamite, which is TNT or nitroglycerin, or even thermite and things like that, to be able to track the source of where it was manufactured, who it was sold to, in other words, the chain of evidence. This same tracking capability using nano embedded identifiers that they used with TNT, you can apply to the wrappers of products, even the products themselves. So picture that Hershey's chocolate bar or there's Twizzlers that you're eating, and they have nanoparticles in them that are transmitting data. And this gets very insidious, and you may think that I'm making this up, but again, this comes directly from the scientific community, the research and development that I see. So let's stay with the wrapper for a moment. The wrapper is indicating that a person, a consumer, has approached the point of sale display in the store, the candy rack. The person is looking for a particular product. The person is perhaps becoming frustrated and impatient because they're not finding what they're looking for, or conversely, they're readily finding what they're looking for. The sensor is literally collecting that data and transmitting it to Hershey's live stream about the behavior, the shopping pattern, the behavior of consumers as consumers pass by this product or pick up and purchase, place into their shopping cart. And I'm getting to the shopping cart in a moment. But it is literally recording the behavior of humans, their buying patterns within the retail environment. Now, you can apply this to other environments. It really doesn't matter. Outside of stores, out in the streets, when you're walking the sidewalks, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have sensors that are embedded in a product, in a wrapper. They literally are in the environment themselves. Part of this is the aerosolized spraying that we talk about. But let's stick with the wrappers. So you buy the candy bar, you consume the candy, you toss the wrapper away. Now, in the insidious sort of imagination, if you will, it will track whether you're recycling the wrapper or not. Okay, so the recycling police may be knocking at your door. The real point here is that now you are consuming the product, and those nanoparticles that are embedded in the product are now embedded in you. This is for the purpose of biometric sensor data collection, biometrics about your body, your heart rate, your body temperature, your hormones, the release of hormones, adrenaline in your body, all of the things that chemically and mechanically happen with our bodies are now being reported by Hershey's chocolate bar. Now, there are many, many other products. I'm just kind of picking on Hershey's because, you know, lots of us love chocolate. I mentioned shopping carts. Walmart, August of this year, I have the patent, copy of the patent from Walmart's application that was granted to Walmart for a biometric shopping cart. Picture you putting your hands on the handle of the shopping cart. Now, it's not just limited to the handle, but you place your hands on that bar, and that bar is a sensor. Think about a lie detector. A lie detector picks up by galvanic changes. Okay, the changes in the conductivity of your skin. Galvanic changes, like galvanized, okay? Changes in your body chemistry is picked up by a lie detector. That same process, I'm being very simplistic, that same process is embedded in the bar of the shopping carts that are being deployed at Walmart. It will, in a biometric way, pick up all of your body's signals. It will also track your movements through the store. The store associates, the salespeople that are out on the floor, people that are helping customers, employees that are helping customers, many retailers like Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, places like that, big box stores, they will have not a cell phone, but a palm device, a portable device that looks like a cell phone. And this is a digital interface, primarily to be able to locate products in the store, to check inventory levels, for restocking of the shelves, but also to tell a customer right there on the floor in the store whether they are in stock or out of stock, and if they're out of stock, how soon will replenishment take place. But here's the thing, the shopping cart is now transmitting your behavior patterns. Now, I mentioned when the Hershey's chocolate bar, that if you're frustrated and you can't find in the rack the product you're looking for, it's notifying the store employees. It's also notifying Hershey's that you're frustrated. That would change their display pattern, their inventory levels, certainly, but how they display products. Here in Walmart with the shopping cart, and you have your hands on there and you're frustrated and you're pushing the cart up and down the aisles and you're weaving around and you're trying to find something, it is sending a signal to the associates in Walmart that there is a frustrated customer and where that customer is. And perhaps even if you're talking about it, perhaps you're talking to your husband and your wife, you're having a dialogue and you're saying to your husband or your wife, you know, I can't find that sweater. Where is that sweater? I know it was in the ad. I can't find it in the store. The shopping cart is picking up your conversation. All of this is relayed to the little PDA, the little handheld device. And the closest associate to you as the customer is notified and sent to you to provide you customer service. Now that sounds great. Sounds wonderful. If this will expedite the movement through Walmart and get you out of there, great, on the surface. But you, again, as an intelligent audience, you can extrapolate the nefarious side for this. I'm just sharing with you that the sensors are everywhere. This isn't to be paranoid. There really isn't much we can do about this. This is so far along. But this is building more and more big data into the companies. Companies like Hershey's and Walmart that contract with Palantir. Now, Palantir is doing them a service. It is analyzing the data and it is discovering what are known as what I call the golden nuggets that's embedded in big data. These golden nuggets are things that are revealing patterns of behavior, revealing things that we would consider to be frustrations on the part of a consumer, competitive advantage opportunities for the retailer, for the business, opportunities to increase their sales because they're able to see where the problems are, see where they can modify, say, their displays or their inventory levels, etc. For a business, this is great to be able to increase your competitive advantage, be able to increase your profit margin, your bottom line for your shareholders. All of that is great. And the CEO of Hershey's applauds what Palantir is doing for their company to make them more profitable and to employ more people, to increase their product line, the diversity of their product line, to bring in new customers. It's great to employ people. I think that's fantastic. But then let's go beyond just Hershey's. What happens to all that data that Hershey's is providing Palantir access to? If Palantir is working with the intelligence community, then you can see that all of that data is being fed by Palantir directly to the intelligence community about what you're doing when you're in Walmart pushing the shopping cart looking for the sweater or looking for the Hershey's chocolate bar. Now, what's the big deal about that? Well, it all comes down to control. The more they know about us, the more they are able to control us. Let's take an example. Let's say that Hershey's is told by the government, you must embed in your product these sensors in the chocolate bar. And Hershey says, no, we don't want to do that. It's a violation of our civil rights. Well, obviously they will be compelled to do that because essentially they are being held hostage. This is extortion. If you want the data services of Palantir, you need to play ball with the intelligence community. Now again, on the positive side, if data collection in the manners that I'm describing will head off the robbery of a store, the terrorist bombing of a store, that's great. All for it. But those are the fear tactics that government will put out to get people to lower their standards of privacy. Again, as I said yesterday, giving up your liberties because you're so fear-programmed, so fear-based, that you're willing to trade your liberties for peace and safety, for security. And this is what they're doing. They're creating this environment of fear. I'm not trying to add to that environment of fear. I'm giving you an awareness of what they are doing so that you are forewarned and forearmed. I'm not saying this needs to be pitchforks and torches. I'm just saying that if you have the opportunity, because you may be involved in these businesses, to voice your opinion, to make decisions, to steer a company, to steer a business in the proper direction. There are many people that listen to my broadcasts that I am completely unaware of as to where they work and what their positions are. So there may be people of influence that hear these broadcasts, and that's who I'm appealing to by making them aware of this, again, what I call the evidence of evil. But more and more companies are being strong-armed by the intelligence community to embed within their products sensors. Now, we've heard the scenarios about the iPhones and Samsung phones, the idea of backdoors in the software that allow the intelligence community to gain access to the data within the devices so that they are able to learn more about the person using the device. And that is another example of extortion. So the more that Palantir and other companies like Palantir provide these data collection services and the ability to analyze the data, make sense of it, and discover the golden nuggets within the data, the more beholden they will be to the government, because the government controls Palantir and these other software companies. Imagine if the governments of the world said, well, you don't have access to your cell phones anymore. All the cell phones will be turned off, or they shut down the internet. We all know what would happen. Okay? So we're about halfway through the hour broadcast today. I want to move on to China, because this does tie into what I'm just talking about now about big data. And I want to relate to Palantir and China in terms of data collection by saying this. Palantir has made the statement, Alex Karp has made the statement, that they have cracked the code. Palantir has cracked the code of big data. I'm going to explain, because he didn't explain publicly what that means, but I'm going to give you the inside information on what that code is. We're going to talk about D-Wave, one of my favorite topics of discussion. You know that one of the three subsidiary companies of D-Wave is Quadrant. Quadrant, as I've outlined in several issues of Entangled Magazine, is the data analysis business sector, the business group for D-Wave. What they are doing is they are taking in the big data and they are recognizing the embedded patterns of behavior. Patterns of behavior of people, patterns of behavior of the machines, of the AI systems. And those patterns are what I refer to as the golden nuggets. Cracking the code is the discovery of those golden nuggets. Now, Alex Karp will never reveal that in public, but they are working with Quadrant. So picture Palantir using D-Wave's quantum computers. Okay, make no mistake, there are direct links between Palantir and D-Wave. Palantir is a third-party software application provider to D-Wave. In fact, they were the first third-party software provider to D-Wave. So to simplify the discussion, you have quantum computers that utilize an operating system known as combinatorial optimization. This is pattern recognition. Quantum computing is for pattern recognition purposes, discovering patterns in data. This is why they formed Quadrant. Quadrant, quite literally, places data into four blocks, four quadrants. This is the same great table of Dee and Kelly that I talk about, that Aleister Crowley used, that John Lull used, or Ramon Lull, excuse me, who developed combinatorial optimization back in the 13th century. Recognizing patterns by arranging the data into four quadrants, which is what is done with the divination table, the interdimensional communication table, called the Great Table. Just Google Aleister Crowley and the Great Table. Google Dee and Kelly and the Great Table, and you'll see the quadrant. This is exactly what Quadrant is designed around, is utilizing in a quantum computer application system the old divination system of the quadrant table. The quadrants have embedded within them the sigils that identify those entities, those spirits, demonic entities that they're communicating with. So quite literally, the big data that is being collected by Palantir, et cetera, is fed to the quantum computers at Quadrant, and Quadrant arranges the data points into the four quadrants that correspond to the names the sigil names of spirits that they're communicating with. Now, this sounds very far-fetched. How can you make the leap between big data, quantum computing, and the spiritual world? You cannot separate the physical from the spiritual. The spiritual is informing us humans in the physical realm. So if they're collecting all this data, they're putting it into this quadrant system, and they're discovering through now, as Alex Karp says, cracking the code, they're discovering these hidden nuggets of behavior. Why is that important? Why is that relevant to us? It is relevant because then it is for the purpose of controlling people. And the best way to control people is through psychological manipulation. So you can then devise political systems and campaigns based upon psychology. You can devise marketing campaigns for Hershey's chocolate bars and for Walmart products psychologically, because it all boils down to psychological influence. Another way of saying it is spiritual influence. From a Christian perspective, we are being spiritually attacked. This is a system of weaponry. The quantum computers, the edge computing of nano-embedded particle sensors, these are weapons systems, weapons against humanity, weapons to manipulate us spiritually. Because when you are looking at quadrant and you're looking at data points and you're looking at the sigils and you're looking at the demons that are being contacted and communicated with, we're talking about what are known as governors. You've heard me say this before, but the governors have dominion over the physical realm, our world, our reality. And again, you can look all this up. This isn't stuff that I'm making up. This goes back into the dark arts. This goes back into divination. Governors are given authority over the physical realm. They can manipulate our physical reality. And therefore, this is what is transpiring through this data collection. Is out the other side is the modification, the revising of our reality. The title of one of my books, Revising Reality, a nonfiction book. So when you hear D-Wave talking about, oh, we're trying to determine the optimum route for taxicabs in Beijing, China, they are speaking the truth. That is what they're doing with combinatorial optimization. And there are D-Wave computers in China, and that's where I'm going to segue into next. D-Wave computers, headquartered in Burnaby, British Columbia in Canada, manufactured, the chips are manufactured in Silicon Valley in the United States. And ostensibly, China is not a favored nation. They are an enemy of ours, supposedly, on the political narrative. And yet, our government and the Canadian government allows the transfer of technology in the form of D-Wave computers to China. So now what I'd like to share with you about China is that picture China as the most secret compartmentalized laboratory in the world. I hope I'm pronouncing your name, Leni, in the chat room. You love that book, Revising Reality. Thank you. I appreciate that. I only contributed a portion to that. There were other authors involved, but it was a touch point. It was a starting point for what we're talking about today. Picture China, because of their not just communist structure, but their dictatorship, their centralized control structure. There are no private sector businesses in China. I'm going to name some businesses in a moment, but realize that the businesses really are just an extension of the Chinese central control government. And thereby, they have a compartmentalized society, much like in the military or in the intelligence community, you compartmentalize information. Same thing in the business sector. Only certain people with certain clearances are allowed access. Well, what's going on in China is that they are really keeping secret the research and development, not only in quantum computing, but concurrent with quantum computing. You've heard me say that when you talk about quantum computers, you also have to bear in mind the spawn, the outgrowth, the application of quantum computing is artificial intelligence. At the highest level, artificial general intelligence. China is the leader in AI. Here in the Western, let's say Western countries, in the United States and United Kingdom and Europe, we hear an awful lot about AI advancements, and I've presented a great deal of information from the Western perspective. But very little is heard coming out of China. And yet China is so far ahead of the United States in its applications of AI. And what I'm going to give you is an example of the business side of this. But understand again, when you're talking about business in China, you're talking about the government. When you talk about business in China, you're talking about the intelligence community in China. When you talk about China, and what I'm going to reveal to you about it, you can apply absolutely in the Western countries, certainly in the United States. It's just that our intelligence communities are not letting you see this. What I'm offering to you is to pay more attention to China. Because what is happening in China will be applied to the rest of the world. Someone in chat was talking about, Tamir, about the social credit system in China. That absolutely, now that's kind of the tip of the spear. Okay? Okay, Doug, I see you're putting the link in chat for the blog talk show for tomorrow. Thank you. Again, I'm trying to pay attention to you guys in chat today. Not just the social credit system, which is fairly public information, but all of these data collection systems and the crunching of the data through Palantir, and Palantir is working with the Chinese. All of that that we get a little taste of in the media here in the West will be applied here in the West. So let's move right along. We've got about 15 minutes. My question to you, big question, not just with China, but with others, is can a democracy, not just the United States, but other democratic countries, statehoods in the world, can democracy survive in the face of the technology that I've been sharing with you? I'll let you mull that over. I don't have an answer necessarily, but it certainly doesn't look good for democracy if we use China as our litmus test. I'd like you to write down the names of these companies for you to take a look at them on your own outside of this short broadcast. The number one I'd like you to look at is ByteDance. B-Y-T-E, just like a computer byte, and then Dance, D-A-N-C-E, ByteDance. They were founded 6 years ago in China, and presently their market valuation is $75 billion. They began as a news aggregation, okay, a news collection service. But what they are now today is an AI business. They are able to create, using their creative power of their AI systems, they are able to create viral applications that people purchase and utilize in order to access their news services, as well as other services that they've branched out into. And they're able to scale faster these viral applications because these are created by the AI systems that they're employing. The creativity, I spent some time yesterday talking about how AI learns from its mistakes, AlphaGo, how the teacher teaches the student and the student then exceeds the capabilities of the teacher, and how in AlphaGo, as the example, the public example of AI and how it learns, how it ran multiple millions of iterations of scenarios on the board before it would execute its next move, and therefore developed a form of artificial intuition, because the masters of AlphaGo, the human masters, said that that is how they developed their skill, was using their intuition, exceeding the rules of the game. Well, the AI systems that are employed by ByteDance are using intuition. They are learning all the time about how to be smarter, how to use their intuition, how to be more creative. And this is why I say, when they talk about developing viral applications and scaling faster, they are able to do that because the AI provides that to them. It discovers opportunities. AI discovers those golden nuggets. It looks at the patterns of data far beyond the capabilities of humans, human abilities to identify those golden nuggets of patterns embedded in big data. And this is why big data is the, if you will, the food of AI. It feeds the beast, it feeds the system, and it has an insatiable appetite for big data because it wants to learn more. Picture this. You graduate from university and you have a 4.0 summa cum laude, and you are anxious to go to work for IBM. And you think you know it all, but you know, because you're smart and you're intelligent, at least the university system rewarding you with 4.0 grades is telling you that you're intelligent. Well, you want to learn more. You want to use your brain. And so you have an appetite to learn more, and you gleefully go to work for IBM, and they feed you information to satisfy your hunger for knowledge, and you rise up through the organization. Well, that's what AI is doing. So AI is creating more systems like sensors, like applications, that will generate more food, more data to feed its desire. And this is a vicious cycle. But this is why ByteDance is taking over. It's a cross between Google and Facebook. Picture what Google does. Picture what Facebook does. And merge the two. And this is what ByteDance does. Now, there are two companies I would also like you to research, because we're about to run out of time here. I don't want to keep you more than an hour. That's not fair. These are Chinese companies. I'm going to spell them to you, but these are grouped in with ByteDance as the three leaders in the Chinese AI economy. The first one I will spell DIDI. Okay? That's DIDI CHUXING. Now let me just make sure I've got, I'm going to check my reference here. Make sure I have the spelling correct on those. Bear with me just a moment. Okay. Yeah. DIDI. That's the first word. Second word, CHUXING. CHUXING. Second company, MEITUAN. MEITUAN dash DINPING. That's DINPING. And of course, ByteDance. Now, these make up what are, in terms of a acronym, DMB, the DMB companies. Now, there are three companies, and you can look these up, but these are a little easier, that previously were the leaders in AI development, and they're known as BAT, B-A-T. That's Baidu, that's B-A-I-D-U. Second one is Alibaba, A-L-I-B-A-B-A. Many people have heard of Alibaba and, you know, with drop shipping. And the other is Tencent, T-E-N-C-E-N-T, Tencent. That's known as BAT. So now you have a merging of two groups, BAT and DMB, in the world of AI. DMB, they are the leader in this AI development. Certainly the biggest of them is ByteDance. What we're looking at now, just with ByteDance, is a $75 billion valuation. Now, their technology, in comparison, exceeds the technologies that have been put together by Uber. Now, you may say, well, what is Uber? Well, Uber had the largest IPO in history. And ByteDance next year will have an even larger IPO. That's an initial public offering in publicly traded stocks. What we're looking at here is these companies in China driving the development, the viral development of AI applications that people, consumers, will be gobbling up because they are solving problems with those applications. Picture your daily walk, your daily life. You have frustrations, you have aggravations, you have inconveniences, things like traffic. So then you have D-Wave saying in Beijing that they're trying to help with traffic patterns, beginning with the deployment of taxis and the most efficient routes. What is known in the beginnings of D-Wave in the discussion mathematically and statistics of stochastic data analysis is something called the traveling salesman problem. In other words, finding the most efficient route. And this is something that D-Wave talks an awful lot about, but that was in the beginning of D-Wave. It's well beyond that with combinatorial optimization and AI. But they will try to sell you on solving problems. They will offer you tools and applications that will help you to route your commute to work in a more efficient, less inconvenient way, saving you gas and time. Good for the environment. All those great platitudes. But behind all of this is data collection and the scenario that I have laid out for you already. It sounds like doom and gloom. You know my solution to all of this, and my solution, of course, is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But all of this can be combated. This is all happening according to God's plan. This is all happening because these are the infrastructure of the beast system, which is a tool of God to hand out, to met out judgment. And as you know that I have said that we are in those last days, and the separating of the wheat and the tares, as I said in the cover of the October issue of Entangled Magazine, that dividing is about to happen by God. What I think I am doing is revealing the evidence of evil in that process of identifying the tares. The more I think that God reveals to me and that I share with you, just as his witness, as his tool, as his instrument, I'm not a prophet, but the more that he leads me to certain areas within technology and I share those pieces of information with you, the more that you are equipped to see the bigger picture and to see what is going on and to see what is transpiring. And many of you that listen to this information that I present, you are already saved. You are a Christian. You already are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So I'm preaching to the choir. But this hopefully will give you the ability to send this information on to those that have not yet been saved, that they are then able, through your efforts, to see from 30,000 feet the big picture, to see the game board, to see the psychological manipulation that is going on, that these tools and applications and these systems that are sold by way of solving problems, to make life more convenient, to make life safer, to ensure our peace and safety. And you know why I keep repeating that phrase, peace and safety. Because when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And that's where it's headed. So it's for the purpose of sharing your testimony by bringing to people who are involved in technology, and most of us are, we use it. Some of the folks in chat were saying that it's nice to be able to use this technology to communicate as we are. Totally agree with that. But I share with you the background behind that. You know, I spent a lot of time, and Kathleen, my wife, we've talked a lot about geomancy and that the origins of computing, the binary, is that divination system of geomancy. And so we are feeding the system. We are feeding that insatiable hunger of AI every time we use technology, every time that we tap on the keyboard or use our phones. We can't help it. We can't avoid it. It's just, it's the system that we find ourselves in. And this takes me, in just the closing moments of this live stream, to just sharing with you that we are aliens. We are aliens in this reality. We are called upon by God not to be of this world. That's why I call ourselves aliens. We are not to be so caught up in this world, so attached to it, so focused on it, that we turn our gaze away from Him and that we don't pay attention to where we're headed. We are here for such a brief time, and Scripture talks about we are like vapors. If you think about how long your parents lived, okay? If your parents have already died and gone to heaven, hopefully, they perhaps were alive for 80 years on average. That's very brief. Like me, I'm 65. I look back over my 65 years and it's just in a blink of an eye, 65 years has gone by. 80 years, same thing. People that are 80 years old will tell you, life just goes by very quickly. So it's where we're headed that is most important. And this is what God encourages us to do, is to keep our eyes on Him, keep our eyes on the promise of heaven, on that promise of our new bodies in salvation, that we will attain a spiritual form, which is really where we started. We started in spiritual form. We've taken on this human form now, and we are aliens in this environment. Unfortunately, it's a fallen environment, and it is an environment in which we find ourselves in spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare is being carried out through the weapons of technology. And these weapons are being used against us. Make no mistake about it. Satan hates us. He hates God's creation. And this is why he is counterfeiting God's creation through neuromorphic artificial intelligence and quantum computers, through the development of synthetic life forms that they claim will be indistinguishable from humans. All of this is the counterfeiting of God's creation, because Satan hates God's creation. He and his minions that are identified and communicated through quadrant and quantum computing in the Great Table, these governors that have dominion, physical dominion, over our environment, they're not our friends. But this is not without hope. I'm just simply saying, keep your eye fixed on God. Keep your eyes fixed on God. Focus on the prize. don't worry about this world. Don't worry about where it's going. Reach out to other people for the salvation of their souls, because they too are aliens in this environment, and they too need salvation. Even the Alex Karp and the Peter Thiel of Palantir, and even the leaders of these Chinese companies that I just mentioned to you. Everyone turning to Jesus can be saved. He promises that. So this is where we're at. I hope it doesn't sound too, too negative. I want you to be encouraged in my final comments here that God's fully aware of all of this. None of this happens in secret. The proponents of the things that I describe in technology will brag about in their hubris about their achievements and where they're going and their projections for the next 10, 15 and beyond years about where they're going and what's going to happen with the world, that it's going to be transformed and that we will achieve a higher level of existence, a better level of existence. Well, those are all the deceptions and the lies that come from Satan. God is in control. It is his plan, and he is winding things down. He's given humanity 2,000 plus years to get their act together, to turn to him. And for the most part, we have failed miserably. So he's going to close the book very soon. And I think this should be a time of joy. When you look at the evidence of evil that I've been presenting, it is evidence that he is about to close the book. And that means that we are about to join him in praising him at the foot of his throne. So please, don't be discouraged by the things that I'm sharing with you. As I said earlier, to the best of your abilities, share and witness and testify to others about the information that I've provided, so that they too can see it from 30,000 feet. They too can see the psychological manipulations, the lies and the deception of technology. Because you know the origins of it. And when you know the origins of it, you understand its true nature. And its true nature is not benevolent, quite the opposite. But God is in control. So I'll take a few questions. If you have questions before we close out today, I'm watching the chat right now. While you think about your questions you'd like to send to me, a little bit about what's going to happen with live streams. I will do the best I can to continue on Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon doing live streams. Again, sending, as I did today, sending out the links to the live stream events. The live streams will be available in the patron area on my website at anthonypatch.com for rebroadcast so that others can listen to them. Certainly not all the patrons are here today. So I'm sure there will be many people listening to them, during the weekend or in the evenings at their convenience. So God willing, I will continue to do live streams, and they will become more of an educational process. I will be, as I said yesterday, probably one will be more of a, here's how quantum computers work, as one example, or this is how AI works. The other will be more like I'm doing today, kind of news type events. Information coming from the media. The Blog Talk Radio is for the public, not just for patrons. And that will be more general. But as I said, I'm going to take those videos and play the audio portions on Friday of the big players in technology and illustrate by using their own words what's going on. And I will do that in other blog talk shows, and I will be bringing guests onto my blog talk program. And let's see, could you let me know what piece of music is? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. Lean, your question was about the music that I play at the beginning of my my show. That comes from Creative Commons, and I will be happy to send you the link to that if you want to email me at anthonypatchauthor@gmail.com or use the contact button on my homepage, and I'll send you the link to that music. It's just Creative Commons composition that I, you know, because it's royalty free. But anyway, the blog talk will be much like I did on Truth Frequency Radio. There have been questions about why I left Truth Frequency Radio, and I addressed that a little bit yesterday and certainly a lot more on Thursday's live stream last week. But suffice it to say, those folks there are pursuing familiar spirits, and they are unfortunately falling for the deceptions of Satan himself. And they are choosing to focus on this world and all the little shiny things that attract our attention in this world. And unfortunately, that takes away from my mission and doesn't serve God's purpose to be worldly and focused upon the world itself. And therefore, I felt that because of their promotion of the use of ayahuasca and the communing with dead spirits and that sort of witchcraft, those dark arts, the dark crafts, that was not an environment that I felt that the Lord wanted me to remain in any longer. And so I have moved on to Blog Talk. Okay? I think that will provide me a lot more freedom in terms of the information that I can provide to you and to others. And so please, if you would, spread the word that if people are looking for me, that's where I'm at, Blog Talk Radio on Fridays from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. So unless there are any other questions in the chat room, I think we'll go ahead and close out the live stream for today. We'll do another live stream, again, Lord willing, on Wednesday and Thursday next week. Between now and then, I will give you the heads up through Patreon for, you know, what topics we'll be covering in the live stream. Certainly, if there are things that you would like me to cover in these live streams, please send that to me, and I'll be happy to do the research and do the reporting. So spread the word. Let people know where they can find this information, and I'll be talking to you between now and next Wednesday through Patreon. And yes, we will be sending notes to you prior to those teaching live streams, and just a one-page summary of the information that I'll cover, especially when I'm doing the sort of more of the lesson live streams. And those typically will take place on Wednesdays. Anyway, I thank you for joining me today, and I respect your time, so I try to keep this to an hour and not pontificate too much. But God bless you all, and thank you very much for joining me. We will continue the conversation. Have a great day. Bye-bye.